I took very seriously the title of the conference, so one of the best pictures and scenes from the occupied movement in Zuccotti Park in Manhattan, in New York City, was actually March in third week of the protest in Zuccotti Park, when march was going on from, we are in Lower Manhattan, was going from Union Square to Zuccotti Park, and there was really big gatherings of various people, and among young kids, smart kids, who started the occupied movement, there was also representatives and members of various trade unions, which are very strong in New York City, including Musicians Union, AFM, their local unit. So this would be my start. Who are the actors in my story? Independent new jazz musicians. I won't go into definition. You can talk. Definitely they are not my sound style. They are part of the downtown music scene, which is in expression and forms quite radical and very eclectic. There is a musicians union, obviously, and they're organizer of festivals, representative of bookers musicians and some club owners. So we have a place where we are. This is the New York City. My starting point will be this, that I treat musicians not as artists and even stars or something, but as workers. So from this, a number of consequences follow and different perspective of this. Now let me first tell you some things about New York City. Of course, New York has been the center of American and world music industry, with a high concentration of media power since the beginning of the 20th century. Throughout this period, the city was interlaced with specialized, segmented markets and musical formations, which managed to preserve their relative autonomy for a few decades. On the basis of field research I conducted in New York in the past six, seven years, I argue that musical life and music production in this global metropolis is determined by contemporary urban processes, and conversely, that the formations of art productions are constitutive part of the social production space. Now, New York was in the past a capitalist Fordist city. Till the 60s of the 60s, New York was the biggest industrial city in the world. But this city was also the city with the system of welfare state. The transformation of New York in the last four decades is one of the keys to understanding the global advance of neoliberalism and urban expansion. After the budget crisis, city budget crisis in 1975, New York was technical bankrupt city in 1975. The new coalitions of mayors and the city's business elite enabled New York to transform from a welfare city to a real estate city. New York became a global city and a neoliberal entrepreneurial city, but also a spatially and socially increasingly more divided city with a new class configuration. It is only through the account of the social changes in the city that we can understand the independent musical formations of new music in New York, including the field of so-called new music, avant jazz, and its musicians that are my focus here in this presentation. Now, this is New York. Now about independent musicians. During my last stay in New York, I spoke again, as ever, in the last 25 years, to my dear friend, composer, pianist, musician, improviser, great thinker, by the way, Anthony Coleman. Anthony has been part of New York City downtown scene from the beginnings of the 80s. He lives in East Village, in an old tenement building that is under old city rent stabilization protection. which is part of the welfare state, welfare in New York City, by the way, this rent stabilization. And I asked him, how is music life? And Anthony, in his style, always, very music style, well, it's very busy between teaching and performing and doing my own stuff, touring, lots of gigs in New York, tons of gigs in New York. And I was asking, well paid? No, but there are still tons of them. So this is the main situation we are facing everywhere now in the music, Moroccan music on the market. So this is a self-description of modern musician, actually, professional modern musician, who has a part-time job. By the way, he's teaching in Boston in the New Music Conservatory. He has gig here, gig there, he's touring when the right opportunity shows up and so on. In short, Anthony is independent working musician. He's professional independent working musician. These old musicians I'm talking about, they are professionals, as they make their living, or at least they gain a part of their income in the specialized local, national or international music markets, from their music performed in public and made for the public. They can make their living with offering services and musical skills as hard side musicians, session musicians, blah, 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 so on. The great majority of these musicians are so-called independent self-employed musicians. Their actual precarious position is historically not so new. Just go to read the jazz scene by Eric Hoffman, written in 1959. Eric Hoffman, by the way, was a great jazz historian, not just a great social historian. He wrote the jazz scene, you know, by his pseudonym as Francis Newton. Frankie Newton, by the way, was trumpet player of Billie Holiday. He was the member of the Communist Party of the United States, one of the rare black musicians, members of the Communist Party of the United States in the 40s, when actually the Communist Party was quite strong. But let's go further. Now, we should, in this story, we should include, we have precarious labor, we have old and new configuration of forces in New York City. What about trade unions and musicians unions? 4 years ago, Emmanuel Wallerstein, in his May Day column, was questioning whether in the present stage of history we are witnessing the return of trade unions. And he was asking, what would be their form, organizational principles, and struggle against overwhelming neoliberal assault on democratic rights and social benefits gained in the past? I would like to follow his lead and his line of thought. And I'm asking myself, and I was asking myself too, if this return could be validated also in the field of music production. My case, and you have summary there, I think confirms this return, possibility of return of trade unions or various organizations of trade unions. Now, when we are talking about variety of modes of organizing among musicians, of course trade union or musicians union is one of the historical gains and forms of organizing. Here, scholars of popular music were quite weak for quite a long time. Now, I think the thing is a little bit changing. If we just think of Martin Pluna and his project about musical unions in Britain, there is great analysis of Broadway show musicians in New York City. There are also other analyses, but still I would say that the labor historians, social historians, have much broader perspectives than scholars of the world. So you have to combine their line of thought with let's say the field of popular music or music in general. So let me just tell you a few things about, I will just try to put some general picture about labor history, from history about labor unions. If we read, let's say, one of the leading labor historians, Stanley Aronowitz, he's also a great sociologist, he described several levels of explanation of palpable loss of union power, especially after the Second World War. First is the relation of labor to politics, both practical and ideological. And he sees, as many others, myself included, disastrous effects of unions' full commitment to the electoral route in support of the Democratic Party as a vehicle through which to win further reforms via the legislative process. I would say this. When Barack Obama started his campaign, first presidency, labor unions, already weakened, contributed about $350 million to his campaign. They expected the changing of the labor laws. But the Wall Street contributed about $800 million. What did happen in the States in past two presidencies regarding the labor laws and changing the nothing? They throw out $350 million. Second would be about the union pervasive issues of gender and race in US labor history. That's really core question in modern labor history. And the third is the question of declining of specific labor ideology among American workers that in the past drew them to unions. Musicians included. I would say popular music scores included too. They didn't care. We cared more about other forms of organizing the musical labor, like do-it-yourself organizations, like independent organizations, and so on. So this, my case, is quite interesting in this respect. I would say, even in post-war welfare state, in the States and in Europe, we should see first and we should detect major differences between Europe and USA. When you come to USA, New York, or whatever, or Chicago, or Los Angeles, or South even, which is completely deunionized, we have to understand something. Crucial element in labor history, organized labor history, was compulsive attachment to the legal frameworks under which bargaining, organizing, and union affairs are regulated. After Second World War, when big labor's legislative offensive failed, the contract rather than government became the site of the benefits, which in Europe were part of the welfare state. That was weakening the interest in building strong public interest, public sector in US. New York here is one big exception in the States. New York has big public sector. And the unions in public sectors are very strong. Actually, unions provided mainly, if not most, of the services in the States. I'm talking for the States. One would expect from a decent European type of welfare state. So, union took on their shoulders realization of healthcare plan, of pension funds, in negotiations with corporate employers. And the musicians' unions did the same, and now I can say that New York, Local 802 of American Federation of Musicians, this Local 802 is in deep shit because they don't have really employers with whom they could bargain for the pension funds. Their pension funds is in big crisis. It's really in critical state. Now about New York, I will go to New York quickly. If we go to New York, now there is, in my estimation, around 30,000 independent musicians, there would be, let's say, about 15,000 musicians which could be designated as jazz musicians. Or they play jazz in various occasions. AFM, American Federation of Musicians, which is Federation of Musicians of the United States and Canada, is joint, it is the oldest, by the way, and the largest organization in the world. They represent the interest of professional musicians, so they claim. But when I was talking to a member of executive board of Local Air 2, he gave me fair assessment of the present conditions of musicians' unions. And he told me this: union itself would cease to be viable in a decade if the attrition from the traditional areas and the power of the union continues to diminish. He was asking himself quite really seriously. I'm asking myself, who are we serving? Who are we representing now? We need to find ways to incorporate the vast numbers of musicians that are functioning in the world of independent, so-called indie music. This is a very bold statement. One of the ways to realize it was this Winter Jazz Agreement between two groups, non-unionized independent musicians. Initiator was one of the union members who is by definition indie musicians, but he's doing variety of unionized jobs, and he actually bring into the union steering committee of independent musicians dealing with the union how to provide, let's say, good union deal with the organizers of Winter Jazz Fest, which is a major festival in January in New York, attracting every year from 6,000 to 8,000 people, which is quite big audience for New York, by the way, in the major location in downtown Manhattan, on Bleecker Street, in the Person Rouge and other clubs. The Person Rouge is former Village Gate famous jazz club and club for Latino music, by the way. The main organizers were two guys. One from non-profit organization, and one from professional booking agency, who is also artistic director of the club mentioned. And this is the crucial one. When finally they sit together at the negotiating table, the two guys, which were among musicians considered as the good guys, they told musicians, "I thought we are on the same side. That we are for music, that we are for spreading our creativity in music." And musicians told them, "Not, we are not on the same side. Obviously we are not. You are on the opposite side of the bargaining table. You are paying us in past 10 years per person $50 for a gig in the festival, which is major actually showcase festival also. And we want to try here different arrangement." So negotiations somehow they took for 3-4 months. Information somehow leaked, and there was some disparities among musicians. But finally they came to agreement which still stands, which is still in power. The minimum union scale guarantee fee now, because union was actually that in final instance, was that the minimum fee is $150 for a gig, which is, by the way, for New York City and their club and festival economy, very good fee. Usually in the club economy, in downtown Manhattan, especially in Brooklyn, musicians are playing for the tips. They are making sometimes from the gig $15, $30. Usually they play, especially female musicians and also male musicians with families, they're playing 3 gigs for a night, 7 days a week. So this is relatively good deal. What happened with this agreement? It still stands. Union didn't took it further as a model how to include independent, precarious musical labor force into their agenda. They didn't do that. Musicians were actually exhausted. They were dealing with them. Email, they're contacted, they're coordinated their action. But there were some crucial elements. I mean, unions in the past, and especially labor unions, are very rigid bureaucratic organizations. Bottom-up, grassroots approach, let's say horizontalist approach, syndicalist approach even, is something new they had to face. But union didn't take this opportunity to rearrange their modus vivendi. And of course they're still dealing with Broadway musicians, symphonic orchestra musicians, where there is clear money in the bargaining. This is one territory which is non-explored yet. But this action of independent musicians and official musicians union perhaps is future potentiality how to work in organized musical labor in very severe relation of contemporary music production, including New York City or Ljubljana, London, Istanbul, whatever. I rest my case.